All right, let's get our Bibles in our hands. And repeat after me, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I will have what it says I will have.
I'm a part of Deliverance Temple. Where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, make some noise this morning. Glory to God. All right, so we are going to talk today from the title, God Reigns. God Reigns. We're looking at R-E-I-G-N, not R-A-I-N, but God Reigns or He Rules. Let's look at a definition for reign. And I'm actually going to ask Mother Mitchell to read that definition for me.
Reign, hold royal office, rule as king, be the best or most important in a particular area or domain, prevail or dominate.
God reigns, or he's preeminent, or he is top dog, he's chief executive officer. You don't get any higher than him. And so we want to make sure you understand that when you chose to walk with God, because God chose you, you did not make a mistake. My father used to always say, we're not serving Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck or a figment of our imagination. We are serving the Creator of the universe. And this is a good time to remind you that he reigns and he rules. Now I'm going to throw another definition that won't make sense right now, but it'll make sense later. Go ahead and put this definition. It's the definition of news. Read that, Mother Mitchell, as well.
Newly received or noteworthy information, especially about recent or important events, a person or thing considered interesting enough to be reported in the news.
All right. So I want us to read this, and then we'll preach a little. So go ahead and put this up. It says that since God reigns and rules, knowledge of him should be our major focus moving forward. In other words, the news, and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to throw off on Mother Mitchell for just a second. Mother Mitchell, I don't know what was going on, and this happened before my father passed. He knew about it, but Mother Mitchell had fell in love with Lester Holt. And Mother, you don't interrupt her when Lester is on, because she wanted her, what is it, 7 p.m. news? I don't know what time Lester come on, but we all know Mama liked Lester and the news that Lester was going to talk about. And so as thinking about that, when you know that God reigns, you got to be like Mother Mitchell. And when God's knowledge is available, that you carve out time to be where the news of God is.
Yes.
Now, I know some of y'all saved and sanctified, so you ain't never gossiped in your life. But there are people who are running to the latest tea, the latest gossip, the latest this, the latest that. Have you ever had somebody not live in your city try to tell you everything going on in your city? I had somebody call me one time on a Monday and ask me, is it true that so-and-so slapped so-and-so in your church yesterday? I'm like, no, didn't nobody slap nobody. Well, that's what I heard. Man, folk will just make up stuff. But the stuff about God is true. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. So when the truth of God is coming around and coming about, I want to get near. That's why I'm saying it's very important to come to this place where the news of God is coming out. And not just the news of God, but the news of his reign, his rulership, his preeminence, his power. It's a poor thing to go to a church church, and all they do is talk about, well, you know, the devil is busy. Well, the devil is busy. That's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to try to be busy because God is ruling and reigning. I don't come to church for you to tell me everything that's going wrong in the world. I want you to let me know that God still sits on the throne with power in his hand. I should not come to your church and feel worse when I leave than when I came. The only way I should feel worse is if God is convicting me and it makes me want to repent. But there are some churches you hear everything about, everything except for God. That's why we had a slow down testimony service, because people would talk about everything but what God done. You was holding on at the waiting for them at the end to turn it around that God did it. Well, you know, I lost my job, and well, you know, my baby lost a toe, and you know, my muffler fell off. Well, I'm thinking some point God's going to come in here and turn it around, and then they sit down. But don't get up telling me all of that. I don't want to be depressed by the time I got done talking to you. Tell me that God still moves. Maybe you ought to tell it to me like this. It won't always be like this. God's going to turn it around. Sooner or later, it'll work in my favor. So when the true news of God is going around, you want to be somewhere around. All right. So because of the Christmas and holiday season, we have not been having Bible study, and in Bible study we go back over what we've studied on Sunday morning. And so I want you to just pay attention as we move forward. Go ahead and flash it up. Pay attention to our past themes of rescue, salvation, victory, and joy. The last couple of sermons, there was rescue part one. Kelly, Sister Kelly came with part two. Last week, I preached joy to the world. So as we move in this God's reign, pay attention. I'm not going to point them out. Just if you can, pay attention to see where you find some of these same things. Because many times what God does, he confirms his word over and over and over. All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to take four passages from Isaiah, and from these four passages, we are going to talk about the reign, the rule of God, and how we should be aligning ourselves with God. It's perfect to say, I am saved, I have given my heart to God, but some people have given their heart to God, but then they don't stay in alignment with God. The other day, Dylan is a new driver, and he has a car, and the other day he said, you know, my car seems to be pulling a little bit to the left. I said, that's called alignment. Yeah. That means you need to get your alignment checked. You can be a child of God, but be totally out of alignment with the reign of God and the rule of God. And sometimes people get mad at you and you're in alignment and you walk in blessings that they don't walk in, but they're not aligned to the reign of God. So we got to learn how to get in alignment. And alignment is really not that costly of a vehicle expense. It don't take that much to bring things in alignment. It don't take a whole lot to get back in alignment with God. But moving into 2026, you're going to have to be lockstep with God. All right. So these are the four passages. I'm going to throw them up real quick. Isaiah 52, Isaiah 12, Isaiah 28, Isaiah 25. These are the only things we're going to be going and working with, is Isaiah 52, Isaiah 12, Isaiah 28, and Isaiah 25. And so this is the way it'll work. We're going to start off with four news points from the four Isaiah passages. And so extra, read all about it. This is your Star Press moment, your indie star moment, but it's going to be news about God. And hopefully you can make the tie-in yourself how this shows the reign and the rule of God. Let's start off with number one. Number one is called good news. Point number one, the gospel, the actual definition of the gospel is the good news. And that's why I say when you come to church, you ought to hear the good news. And so what is the good news? The good news for us is that the creator of the universe had a son but wanted a family. And through the sacrifice of the son, we have been adopted into the family. And so that's good news. If I'm just banking on my DNA as a Mitchell, I might be left out, because as far as I know, I don't know any millionaires and billionaires in the Mitchell DNA. So it's beautiful that I'm not just resting on the DNA of my forefathers, but the creator of the universe knows me by name and calls me his child. I'm a son of the living God, the creator God, the God that rules and reigns. That's my daddy. That's my Abba Father. And that's good news. So even when I have a bad day, the good news is he's still my daddy. I may have made a mistake, but that's still my daddy. He's still my father. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's still great I Am and the shepherd of the sheep. He's still the friend of the thinness and the joy to the whole world. That's good news. That's why sometimes you are in a bad season, but you still function like you got good news. Have you ever been in a bad season, but you still wake up with a praise in your spirit? You move through the house humming and singing and moaning, talking about I plead the blood and hallelujah, salvation and glory. You really don't have a reason to praise in the natural, but the good news is because of who I'm connected to. Because here's the truth of the matter. If I die and don't get it on this side, I'm still going to get it on that side. So you can't stop my joy. Like I told you last week, I got joy down on the inside because I don't have to have everything going my way to be happy. I'm happy because of what I know and the joy that I have. And so that is good news. Let's keep on reading. Let's go to our first Isaiah passage, Isaiah 52, verse 7.
How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns.
Oh, the reason why it's good news and it's peace and it's joy and it's salvation is because of who is reigning, who is sitting on the throne. In the old movie, The Wizard of Oz, when the wicked witch was killed, everybody was celebrating. The witch is dead. So when the devil has been defeated and God sits on the throne, you don't have to wait to Easter to be happy about the resurrection of your Savior. It's good news because of who reigns. Let's go to verse 8.
Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. They shout joyful together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion.
Verse 9.
Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem.
I told you that sometimes you're in a bad season, but the God of all comfort, Corinthians calls him the God of all comfort, he won't leave you hurting forever. And when that shift turns, everybody sees it, especially your enemy. Sister Kelly taught us that your enemies got to watch you eat. All right, look at verse 10.
The Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God.
Showing himself strong, verse 11.
Depart, depart, go out from there, touch nothing unclean, go out of the midst of her, purify yourselves. You who carry the vessels of the Lord.
So that's that alignment. There's some stuff I just don't want to be caught doing because of who I know rules and reigns. And so I'm going to act accordingly. There's an old story about the Atlanta Hawks back in the 80s. And the Atlanta Hawks were playing the Boston Celtics. And Larry Bird got super hot, super, super, super hot. And he was hitting from everywhere. He got so hot and was doing so good that the Hawks players on the bench forgot where they were and was clapping and high-fiving for what Larry was doing. And the coach got so mad at him because here you are sitting on the sideline rooting for the wrong one. I wonder how many of us Christians have been seeing what the devil is doing and rooting for the wrong team. I'm like the Hawks coach. Get off the bench. Get off the team. I don't want you on my side if you don't know who to root for. You don't know when to high five. You, some of y'all tell all the bad news and forget to tell the good news. You know who's sleeping with who. You know who died and who robbed who. But you don't know scriptures. Like my daddy say, from beans to apple butter. You don't know none of that, but you know the latest gossip. What team are you on? All right. So what we want to do, we want to depart from that. We want to align ourselves with the rule of God. Verse 12.
But you will not go out in haste, nor will you go as fugitives. For the Lord will go before you. And the God of Israel will be your rear guard.
Here's the problem. Sometimes because we're walking by faith, there's what we call the fear of the unknown or uncertainty. So if I step out, I wonder, am I going to fall on my face? I wonder if this is going to mess up. And God says, oh, you don't have to worry about it, because a part of the good news is I'm actually going to go before you. Then the scripture says, I'm actually going to be your rear guard. So I'm going to get in front of you and I'm going to get behind you. I'm going to take care of everything in front of you, and I'm going to take care of all them jokers behind you. All you got to do is just keep on walking. Just keep on believing. Just keep on hoping. Just keep on trusting. Just keep on stepping, because God got it all taken care of for you, because God reigns. That's the good news. Read 13.
Behold, my servant will prosper. He will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted.
Next verse, verse 14.
Just as many were astonished at you, my people, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men.
That's why he was beat the way he was beat. Let me say something to you, that just throw this in here. I accidentally put extra verses. I didn't mean to go through all these verses, but I forgot to take the extra ones out. So y'all got some extra stuff, and it was still good. All right. So put this up. The good news is what? The good news is God reigns. That's the good news. We are on the winning side. All right. Number two. So number one's the good news. And point number two is now we want to spread the news. I said people are spreading the gossip. So now we want to spread the news. Let me get like Frank Sinatra. Start spreading the news. Yeah, I want to be a part of it. Start spreading the news. When God bless you, stop being quiet and talk about it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Now, here's the thing. When bad stuff happens, we tell everybody. But when good stuff happens, we forget. Now, there's times when I just told my wife about it just the other day. But on one of my last days going to work, I almost got in a bad accident. I was going and somebody pulled out in front of me, and I tried to stop, and I hit a patch of ice, and I was getting ready to run right into me. Not only did they pull out in front of me, but I don't know if their car stalled, because after they pulled out, they put on their blinkers, and I'm slamming my brakes and I'm holding the wheel, and at the last minute they moved forward and I was able to get around. Had me shook, but I forgot to even say anything about it. Because God, he hooks us up so much that we've been trained to only talk about the bad stuff. But if you look back over your life every single day, God has made a way for you. God has turned things around for you. So we got to start spreading the news. Oh, by the way, I about lost my mind, but God came through. I was depressed, but God picked me up. I was losing myself, but God brought me out. Start spreading the news so other folk can celebrate. All right. But, you know, I know sometimes in some of our stuff we're private. Some of the stuff we can't tell. Because of some of the junk I've been in, I don't want nobody to know. God got me out of that. But if you can't tell nobody, just say, God, I thank you. Who? I know, don't nobody know, I almost, but thank you. Nobody know I almost ended up in his bed, but thank you. Nobody knows I almost ended up with her, but thank you. Nobody knows I almost had road rage and done so, but thank you, God. You should never come in here and somebody got to beg you to praise the Lord. You ought to have a praise on your mouth and a praise in your spirit, because God has been good. So start spreading the news. Isaiah 12, verse 1.
Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me.
Verse 2.
Behold, God is my salvation.
Ooh.
I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song. And he has become my salvation.
Ooh, he has become my salvation. See, when you're young in the Lord, you think the stuff is going to become your salvation. But God has become my salvation. Well, when I get married, I can be happy. And when I get my Lincoln, I can be happy. And when I stop renting, I can be happy. When I get off of Section 8, I can be happy. No. I'm happy in him. And so if the Lincoln comes, it's just the cherry on top. If the mansion comes, it's just the cherry on top. But if I don't get the mansion, I still got King Jesus. If I don't get the car, I still got King Jesus. If I don't get married, I still got my God, because he is my salvation. Yeah. And many times the stuff doesn't come until you first get him. I shared on last week about the struggles with me and my wife and the miscarriages. But at some point, I made up in my mind, baby or no baby, you're still God. And once I start worrying about what I was missing and start thinking about who I already had, then God was able to open the womb and turn things around. Sometimes stop looking at the stuff and start looking at God. And you'll find out that along the journey, God is enough. Now, if I get the other, thank God. But God, you're enough. If the marriage doesn't start working out like I want it to work out, God, you're still enough. If I'm still riding the missed bus, God, you're still enough. If I only have one sweater and I got to rotate it, God, you're still enough. And if you don't believe God is still enough, all you got to do is get a passport and go overseas, not to the tourist parts, but go to the other parts where somebody has a tin roof over their head, and you'll find out it ain't as bad as you think it is. God is enough. All right, look at verse 3.
Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation.
So you begin to realize, I've got a well of joy down on the inside. I don't need anything on the outside to create my joy. I can reach down on the inside and pull joy from the well of salvation. At the end of the day, sometimes you got to remember, I thank God I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and a mighty burning fire, and I will speak in tongues, not just on Sunday morning, but I'll speak in tongues in my house, in my room, in my backyard, because I got joy down on the inside. I got something that I didn't used to have. I used to have to smoke it to get it. I used to have to shoot it up to get it. I used to have to gamble to get it. I used to have to lay down with somebody to get it, but now I got it down on the inside. So spread the news. Let's read Isaiah 12, 4 through 6. Read all three of them.
And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known his deeds among the people.
Tell it.
Make them remember that his name is exalted.
Run, tell that. Tell it.
Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth.
Tell it.
Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel.
One thing that we have a problem with is the world tells their junk better than we tell our stuff. The world will tell you, woo, I'm telling you what, this the baddest strip club in the world. I got tore up from the floor up. They'll make you, even if you don't want to go, they'll make you think about going because they talk about it so well. But we don't talk about God at all. What'd you go and do today? Well, I went to church. Okay, what happened? Well, I went to church. You mean you ain't got nothing to say about being in the house of God with the people of God? I want to get back to the time when you call somebody up and say, ooh, we had a time in the Lord. You can tell every point, every song, every scripture because you're excited about it. Get excited in 2026. Get excited again about the Lord.
Hallelujah. All right. All right. Go ahead and flash this up. When you understand how incredibly good the good news is, you can't keep quiet about it. You can't keep quiet about it. All right, let's switch. So we had the good news. Now spread the news. Now let's flip real quick and put up number three. Number three is the bad news. There is some bad news. And let's read Isaiah 28, 9 through 11.
To whom would he teach knowledge? And to whom would he interpret the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just taken from the breast.
Verse 10.
For he says, order on order, line on line, a little here, a little there.
Now, so basically what we're saying is the word of God that comes, the knowledge of God that comes, if you treat it like it's nothing, it's not nothing, it's line upon line. It's laid out beautifully. There's 66 books, several authors, and there are thousands of verses and hundreds of chapters, and God orchestrated and weaved it all together that it will speak what it needs to speak to you in the moment it needs to speak to you, so you can't take it for granted. Now, this is not in, some of y'all heard me tell this before, but this is not in my notes or message. I'm just going to go ahead and do something that happened to me, and it's also in Isaiah. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It's Isaiah, I believe it's the 33rd chapter, and I believe it's the 18th verse. I'll check and I'll see real quick. Yeah, there it is, Isaiah 33 and 18. I'm going to read it. So this happened to me in 2001. This was September 11th, 2001. I just got home from work, and I had been there at work while all the towers had come down. And I'm just thinking to myself, I was like, God, I mean, I've been praying to you. I had no clue this was going to happen. And the Lord told me to open my Bible, and he told me to turn to Isaiah 33. I read Isaiah 33 verses 1 through 17, and it meant nothing to me. But when I hit 18, it jumped off the page. 18 says this. It says, thine heart shall meditate terror. Where is the scribe? Where is the receiver? Where is he that counted the towers? Later on, they start calling it terror in the towers. Now, this scripture does not mean that it was prophesying the 9/11 happening, but what God was showing me, no matter what happens, I can take you to the word and show you that nothing catches me by surprise. It may catch you by surprise, but I can take you right into the word that's been written thousands of years ago. I can put it right in your face, and I can still give you something. That lets me know that even in bad situation, God still reigns. So why is this bad news? What makes it bad news is many of us have done this. This ain't nothing but a dust collector. We don't have any interaction with the word of God. We know everything but the word of God. I'm not one of them hard preachers that act like you can't do stuff, you can't listen to stuff, you can't listen to Jodeci. Listen, do what the Spirit allows you to do. But don't tell me you know every Jodeci song and you don't know one scripture and you call yourself saved. If that is the case, that's bad news. Because God has laid stuff out. And there are some stuff that is specifically for you, but you got to get in it. There's a story that Kevin Hart tells. That Kevin Hart, before he became Kevin Hart, the major star that he was, he went through a lot of ups and downs. Even once he became a comedian, he went through a lot of ups and downs. He had some pilots and things that he was supposed to do that fell apart. And so he would call his mother, and his mother would say, "Have you read the Bible I gave you?" And Kevin was like, well, not really. I'll get to a mama. And every time he called mama for help, his mama would tell him the same thing. To fast forward and make a long story short, one time he was in a bad, bad, bad situation. And he thought, I need to call mama again. But I know she's going to tell me, have you opened the Bible I gave you? He's like, okay, I'm finally going to open the Bible and see what they're saying. But in the Bible, his mama had put a whole bunch of money in the Bible. So he had answers all the time, all along with him, but he never opened the Bible, so he never got what was in there. And what his mama was saying to him, I've already provided what you need in there, but you got to open it up. And I hear God saying, the only bad news is your answer is already in front of you. I can't tell you any more than I've already told you. But if you would open it up, I will unlock some things for you. Let's look at verse 11.
Indeed, he will speak to this people through stammering lips and a foreign tongue.
Paul ends up quoting this when he talks about the speaking in tongues. He said, I got to jump over these Israelites and I'm going to speak through other nations. Keep going. Verse 14 through 19. Read all of them.
Therefore, listen to this message from the Lord, you scoffing rulers in Jerusalem. You boast, we have struck a bargain to cheat death and have made a deal to dodge the grave. The coming destruction can never touch us, for we have built a strong refuge made of lies and deception.
A lot of people are believing in a bunch of lies, but this stuff is going to hit this earth. It's going to crumble everything they believe in because it's not built on the foundation of the truth. All right? We'll keep going. Two more verses of belief. Go to verse 18.
I will cancel the bargain you made to cheat death, and I will overturn your deal to dodge the grave. When the terrible enemy sweeps through, you will be trampled into the ground.
Yeah, that's bad news. Verse 19.
Again and again, that flood will come, morning after morning, day and night, until you are carried away. This message will bring terror to your people.
Oh, yeah. So the people who keep rejecting God, the bad news is there's only one thing that they can get, and that's terror on top of terror. Let's throw this up here as a takeaway. The bad news is some will reject God's reign and will pay the price for it. Listen, don't worry about it. You get locked into God. Don't worry about what other folk are doing and what they're doing, because if they're not of God, it's going to come to nothing. It'll fold, it'll crumble, it'll fall. And I know sometimes the devil will show you people who ain't going to church. They're not forgiving their enemies. They're not loving. They're not trying to give and all that. And they seem like they living better than you. But here's the thing. If you can see their end, don't get tricked. Don't fall for the okie doke. Stay locked into God. The good news only works if you believe that God reigns. Because what happens if you don't believe, then his reign is going to be reigning against you. You don't want that. All right. So here's number four. Point number four. Here's the final news. The final news is in Isaiah 25, 6 through 9. This is the final of the four passages too. All right.
In Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat.
Oh, it's going to be a party. I know I'm telling you that sometimes you're looking at other people and they look like they're always advancing, but it's not always going to be that way. There's going to be a time where people are going to start looking at the people of God, and it's going to realize that they're living deliciously. They're living in ways and doing things that doesn't make any sense. Some of the stuff you're getting ready to walk into is not going to make sense. You don't have the education for this. You don't have the right family for this. You don't have the right pedigree for this. Oh, I love Brother Melvin's story. He'll tell you that he started drinking when he was 6 years old, but now he's running a foundation where the Ball brothers and Ball State and Ivy Tech are working with him, because when God steps in, when God, I don't care what the devil had planned for you, when God steps in and grabs a hold of you, when deliverance comes to your temple, it'll look delicious. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. I got a buffet. I got a long buffet. I ain't talking about no janky Golden Corral buffet. I'm talking top of the line buffet. God is about to bless my socks off. God is going to allow favor to hit my house. You better not be mad at me, because this is the Lord's doing and it's marvelous in my eyes. I don't know when, but some folk just gonna wake up in IU Health and realize I don't need these IVs. God done healed me from the top to the bottom, because God know how to bless his people. Even in a storm and a famine, he can bless his children with well-aged wine, the new wine and choice meat. Come on, read verse 7.
There he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the
earth. And even deliverance, Sybil, because of the loss that we went through and the grief that we went through. There was a cloud of gloom that every now and then it still tries to settle over our life. But God says, I'm going to remove the cloud of gloom. It's not going to be able to dictate and change my whole life. No, God says, enough is enough. And I heard my mother, she was telling me, we were talking about her loss of her husband and how she was sharing with someone else that grief is a spirit. It's a natural thing, but at some point it goes from a natural thing into a spirit. In other words, what Satan does, he attaches his demonic presence to the normal stages of grief. And at some point, you're not no longer grieving normally, but the demons have set up in there, and it's hard to tell the difference. And God says, no, I'm not going to allow that demon to come in here and throw your mind off and make you loop. No, you're not going to lose your mind. I'm going to hold you through it. In the midnight hour, I'm going to hold you. There's this man, I've never met him, but he meant something to my father. And so he reaches out to me on every, and first of all, he's just started reaching out to me on Father's Day, and he just checking on me. And this Christmas, he checked on me, and it's always good to hear from him, because it's another example of how my father has just touched so many people, some guy I don't even know. And so he reached out to me on Christmas morning, and we exchanged pleasantries. It was nice. And then he said, I just want to share this picture with you. It was the last time I ate with your father. And he sent me that picture. And when I seen that picture, it changed my whole spirit. It broke my heart, because it was like how I remembered him. And this guy is just doing something normal. I had to pull myself together. You're not about to lose your mind on Christmas Day. This was done in a way to bless you. I'm not going to allow this to... get yourself together, because sometimes the devil will take a good thing and try to twist it on you. No. I'm not going to allow this to happen. Sometimes you got to talk to your mind. But here God says, I'm not going to force you to do it by yourself. I'm going to step in and just remove the cloud of gloom. And let me tell you something. Grief is not just about losing loved ones. Sometimes it's losing relationships. It's losing jobs. Grief comes in so many different forms, and God says, my people are not going to be glooming forever. I'm going to step in, and I'm going to provide a rainbow On Christmas Eve, I was taking my wife somewhere, and I looked up and seen a rainbow in the sky. I've never seen a rainbow on around Christmas time, but God was reminding me my promise still stands. I'm still God. I still reign. The devil can't stop nothing. I'm still on your side. I need you to know that God still makes a difference. Now, last week, when I was preaching joy to the world, I spoke about a rainbow, and just a few days later, I see one in the sky. Now, it was cloudy, so it wasn't very clear, but I can see it, and I'm here to let you know you can look past the trouble and see the promise on the other side. All my life, you have been faithful, and all my life, you have been so, so good, and with every breath that I am able, I'm going to praise of the goodness of God. In 2026, you're going to know that the goodness of God is over my life. All right. Two more verses, 8 and 9.
He will swallow up death forever.
Swallow it up.
The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken.
This is the final news. Verse 9.
In that day, the people will proclaim, "This is our God. We trusted in him."
I sought the Lord and he heard. Come on, read it.
"And he saved us. This is the Lord in whom we trusted. Let us rejoice in the salvation he brings."
Another word for salvation is deliverance. Let us rejoice in Deliverance Temple, that God's going to bring deliverance for the folk in Deliverance Temple. He going to bring his salvation because he reigns. All right. So here it is. Let me put flashes up here. The final news is I choose to trust in God and his reign. And since he won't fail, I can't lose. Let me say it again. Since he won't fail, I can't lose. So I'm going to start moving like a winner. I'm going to start acting like a winner because I can't lose. I can't even lose if I try, because God is on my side. And that rhymes. So let's take us to a conclusion. Here's a conclusion. So before I go to the conclusion, I have something hidden in this that I was hiding in plain sight. I'm going to show you later. But I just, for giggles and grins, I asked ChatGPT, could it figure out what I was hiding? So I put in my chapters and put it in there and see if it could figure out what I was hiding, and it couldn't figure it out. But what it spit out, I kind of like this. I'm going to share what it spit out. And I was like, you're wrong, but this is good too. So let me tell you what, this is the summary that ChatGPT came up with. And if you don't know what that is, it's an AI, artificial intelligence. So let's go through these real quick, and then I'm going to tell you what I saw. But let's put this up with AI said. Isaiah 52 announces the reign. Your God reigns. It is proclamation. Good news. God asserting kingship and redemption. I might have got ChatGPT saved. Who knows? Isaiah 12 is the response to that reign. Praise, trust, joy, and salvation flowing from a people who have received the good news. Then it goes on to Isaiah 28 is the warning in light of that reign. God's rule cannot be mocked or reduced to human wisdom. Those who refuse his order, they stumble over the cornerstone, which is Jesus. And then Isaiah 25 is the fulfillment of that reign, the victory feast, the swallowing up of death, and the public vindication of God's sovereignty. That's not what I was hiding, but thank you, ChatGPT. That was pretty good. Now go ahead and let's put this up here. This is the four passages. I was hiding something in plain sight. Let me just go ahead and throw it out to you. There's 52 weeks in the year. This is the 52nd Sunday, but it's actually 12, 28, 25. So what I was doing, I was preaching this time and this date right in front of your face. Because what God is saying is that there is no time that he doesn't see. There's no time that he doesn't know. There's no date that surprises him. He sits on the throne. He's Alpha and Omega. He's beginning and the end. He reigns over every day. He reigns over good days, bad days. He reigns over happy days, sad days. He reigns over mountaintops and valleys. And every day you wake up, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, because I got the joy to the world down on the inside. Because when I was in trouble, God rescued me and pulled me up out of my sin, and he set my feet on a rock to stay. He got me out of the miry clay, and I looked at my hands and my hands looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. I'm here to let you know I'm going to stand on top of the trouble, because God is the wind beneath my wings. He is everything to me, and he rules and he reigns, and I put nobody above him. There's nobody above him. He's so high you can't get over him. He's so low you can't get under him. He's so wide you can't get around him. He is everything, and I'm so glad I'm serving the risen Savior and the risen King. If you believe it, shout some praise and stand on your feet. God reigns. He reigns over my addiction. He reigns over my trouble. He reigns over the government. He reigns over the bank account. He reigns and he rules. 12:28-25. Be reminded that our God reigns. All right, let's look at this confession. We'll say it together and we'll close. Go ahead, flash it up for us. We'll just do it one time. Our last Sunday confession together. Father God, we thank you for all you have done in us this year. We approach the new year with the truth that you reign. So reign in us, reign over us, and reign through us. Let's do it again. Reign in us. Reign over us and reign through us. Reign in us, reign over us, and reign through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for a specific word for this specific moment and this specific date. God, you understand that I didn't even know what you were doing when you were crafting this sermon in me. But you're letting us know that you are watching everything. And the scripture says you watch over your word to perform it. So God, perform your word in us. Let us not go down. Let us go up. Let us go higher and higher. Let this last day of 2025, this last Sunday of 2025, be the baseline for the rest of the Sundays in 2026. Let us go higher and higher. And let us make a difference in the lives of the people around us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let the people say, God bless you. Have a great week. You can come for prayer if you desire it.